A lot of you have heard me talk about my childhood quite often. And this time of the year, it brings up a lot of memories. Some mostly good, but some seem to have a little hint of threat to them by my parents, or my mom in particular. Three boys, you can understand why. At this time of the year, if you don't behave, Santa Claus is going to skip your house. It's funny how they pull that lever at this time of the year. Or, look, I just saw him look in the window, and you were picking on him. So guess what? He's probably going to skip your house, or our house. So it's funny thinking about that. And I was thinking about it, and really, we didn't really do that a lot with my girls. We didn't have to. They're pretty good girls. But I heard on the radio a mother doing it to a degree that I'm so glad my mother didn't do to us. Apparently, this little four-year-old girl gets a letter from Santa at the beginning of December. And they open it together, the mother and this little girl. And it's going to have a note in there to say if she's been good or bad this whole year. And they had this girl, and she was crying. She was upset. I don't think I've been good enough. I don't think I've been good enough. And she was almost terrified. And her mother opens the letter and said, it says, Kaylee, you've been good. And she claps and runs around the house. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty traumatic. In some regard, it would have been in my house because it would have said, you've been bad. And it would have been bad times three. So, but there's always these signs around us, isn't there? Especially in that little town where I grew up, the decorations, my wife and I talked about this after service last night. Decorations in the town go up. And they go to the beginning of the city limits and the end of the city limits. Says Merry Christmas and Happy New Year on one end and the other. And they had wreaths on all the little light poles. And it was the whole town was lit up. And you see all of these signs that Christmas is almost here. That we're almost ready to celebrate. It's almost going to happen. And it's not unlike what we're hearing in our gospel lesson today. John the Baptist, who was in the wilderness, who was eating locusts and honey and proclaiming the coming of Christ as the Messiah, and now he's in jail. He is in prison. And that's a dark place to be. I've visited, done prison ministries and visited people in prison, and it's a sense of hopelessness. And here he is writing and sending a messenger, tell me this is the right person. Tell me this is the Messiah that has come. And the messenger runs to Jesus and he says tells him all the signs, and then the messenger comes back to John. But what about us? How does that impact us in our everyday life? And I started thinking about Christianity as a whole during a talk that I was at a month ago. And Charles Duhigg, who is an author of the New York Times, wrote a book called Making Better Decisions. And he spoke to us. And he spoke to us about how CEOs and people that really make a company successful make certain decisions on different information that they're fed. And his theory, his hypothesis was that those successful people are able to block out some information and hold on to other information to make their decisions and make those accurately. And so he took his hypotheses to Harvard, to a bunch of psychologists, and they read his paper and were the start of his book, and they said, that's very interesting, but you're completely wrong. What happens is those people take all the information and make decisions on all of the information. Meaning, they tell themselves a story and navigate through that story in their mind before they make that decision. And it's called cognitive tunneling. And I was wondering about this as Christians. What do people do when we react? What kind of information are we as Christians giving out to the world? When somebody's in a spiral going downhill, what kind of information do they get from us to know that God is good, that God is there? What kind of signs are we giving out? After all, we're all Christians. We're all here worshiping God together, the Trinity. We all follow Christ. We are all called to love one another, to love our neighbors despite our differences, to clothe the naked, to feed the poor. What signs are we giving out as Christians? What pieces, bits of information so people make the right decisions throughout their life? Are we part of the solution or part of the problem? When I was going through the process of being ordained, one of the questions that would come up and we would ask others is, if you were on trial and you were charged for being a Christian, is there enough evidence that your peers and jurors will convict you of being a Christian? Is there enough evidence there? People make decisions based on the information they're getting, right? So if they're not getting the right information, they could be going the way down the wrong path. And trying to make those decisions is a struggle for a lot of people. So are we lifting people up, or are we walking around people? What kind of signs do we give the world that this was that Christ is the Messiah, that he is coming? We're going to celebrate his birth on the 25th of December. What are we saying to the world about who we are? Something to think about. This messenger that left John's jail cell, or John Baptist's jail cell, rings so clear to us today. It is up to us to prepare the way. It is up to us to be prepared and then help others find the way too, through his love. It's not a battle. It's not a competition who's going to be the greatest in heaven and who's going to get there first and who's going to be the more pure person. It is, we're all welcome. We're all accepted. And we're all called to be this bright light in the wilderness. And we're all called to give that type of information to others, that Christ loves us, that God loves us so much, his son was born for our salvation. He was born for a sacrifice. He was born to redeem us and our sins, that we may have everlasting life, that we and the world may have everlasting life. There's no differences when you talk like that, when you act like that, when we react like that. There's no differences between you and me when we go out and say, we love one another and we love you too, whoever you is. Because Christ has commanded us to love you, and God loves you through Christ. Let me show you and bring them here, or talk with them, or sit with them, or give them the hope that they lost in their despair. Reaching down to lift people up is a lot of work. Giving that information to them that God loves us is not to be taken lightly and cavalier. It's more than just saying, I will pray for you and moving on. One of the things that we learn through pastoral care is you pray for them and then you follow up with them. And you follow up with them. And you follow up with them. I'll leave you with another final thought. How powerful that is. I did a training several years ago with some Catholic nuns. And what they were doing is working on how people handle pain while they're in the hospital. And being a burn victim myself and all the pain I went through, I was very interested in this study. So I signed up. And what they were doing, they would go into the hospital, and you'll hear in the worst parts of the hospital, like the burn centers, or the ones where pain management is just over difficult, more difficult than even medications can handle. And you would hear someone crying over here and somebody over here not crying as much. And what they would do is they would go over here and say, you hear that person? Pray for them. Just pray for them. This is what they're going through. Pray for them. And they would go over to the person going through all of this pain and said, there's a person over here praying for you. They're in the hospital as well. Pray for them. And ultimately they met. But through that prayer, their pain subsided. even without medications, because they were praying for each other. It could be, you could name it a lot of different things. It could be the Holy Spirit working between two people. That power of prayer and that follow-up and that connection, the connection we have to one another, building this family, is something that takes away all despair. It leaves us with a great deal of hope. That information that we know somebody cares about us so much, that much to take the time and to pray for us, is something that will relieve us from any despair. Pray for others. Be the light in the wilderness. And let people know that Christ is born for us. Amen.